That's worth playing one more time. Okay, good, good. I love that clip. I've said it many times because this is what I learned as a teenager, that we were created to know God, that that's the purpose for which we were created. You might find yourself now looking after an elderly parent. You might find yourself doing certain things in life because you have to provide for your family. You might find yourself in even in difficult situations of varied proportion and kind. But ultimately, I want to remind you today that you were created to know God. You were created to know God. And I was thinking about this because one of my passions is I really wish that everyone could go through a discipleship training school. It is so foundational. It is so foundational, discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission. And then I was just reminded about 5 minutes ago, as this thought was going through my head, I was reminded that God brought to West Ottawa YWAMers. He's brought quite a few YWAMers to West Ottawa. So we are, in fact, a place where we are a discipleship training school. That's who we are. That's who we are. And that's what Christianity is it's a training. It's a time. It's a, we're learning about discipleship and what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. It's someone who follows and does as their master does as the one their teacher does and learns from him and becomes a disciple so that they in turn can teach others and their life, in fact, teaches others. Their life teaches others. Okay, so I want to start this morning and I'm going to just go through this and share what's on my heart this morning. But I wanted to mention to you, some of you, and most of you probably are not aware, but Bob and I are going to Guatemala for 10 days, the beginning of March. We're meeting in Miami and we're flying over to Guatemala. We're going to be visiting Guy's ministry, Love Made Real. We're going to be doing a little bit of work with them. But then we're going to visit some pastors, one of which is almost 100 years old. His name is Juan Pedro, and we're going to meet him and get together with him. Valerie and I met him and his family many years ago. Actually, after our first year, I don't think we were even married a year, right? I think it was less than a year married. We went to Guatemala together and we met a girl by the name of Maria. And she was working in the Pan America Hotel. And we met Maria and she was the daughter of a pastor. So she invited us home to her family and we got to fall in love with this family. And in fact, we named our daughter Rebecca after Maria. So our daughter Rebecca is Rebecca Maria. We're traveling in a bus with this family in Guatemala and we're on our way to dinner. We want to practice our Spanish. So we're on our way to dinner. Val says, stop it. We're on our way to dinner, and Valerie turns to one of the other daughters and asks her this. She says, Tengo hombre. So, what she meant to say was, Tengo hombre, do you have hunger? Are you hungry? And instead, she said, Do you have a man? Do you have a man to this young girl? And anyway, doing this at Val's expense, I can kind of see her over there. Hi, Val. So that's happening at the beginning of March, and we're really excited about that. It's a lot of years since we've been back. Many have traveled to Guatemala over the years. Some of you right on this call right here have been to Guatemala, part of the teams that Bob has taken over the years, and it's been transformational for people's lives. We've been twice. This will be my third time to Guatemala. Fourth time, actually, my fourth time. We're really excited about that. So last week, Terry Lynn helped me to get a title for the message that I preached last week, and the title that we came up with was At Your Service, At Your Service. And John, I don't know if I said it last week. If I didn't, I wanted to say that, John, you serve up smiles. And you know what I'm talking about, buddy. You serve up smiles. You know, Bob Dylan years ago, for those of us that are old enough, that wrote that song, You Gotta Serve Somebody. Everybody's got to serve somebody. And I've got a plaque over my door over here that Corey did for us. And it's as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to say a couple of things and then I want to kind of rifle through a few things, but I want to say that I'm sharing this with you this morning. I'm sharing it to the most discouraged among us, to the most encouraged among us. This is for the most encouraged and the most discouraged among us. Years ago, Barry Boucher, when I was just a young man, not even married at the time, but Barry Boucher spoke these words to me. He said, Chuck, God uses everything in our lives to uniquely qualify us for what he calls us to. He uses everything in our lives to uniquely qualify us for what he calls us to. And those words are more true today than they were even when he spoke them. And they're true for you. No matter where you find yourself, from the most encouraged to the most discouraged this morning, God is going to use and purposes to use everything in your life to uniquely qualify you for what he has called you to. And there is a call on every believer Every believer is not called to warm a pew. Every believer is not called to hang on until Jesus returns. Every believer has a call upon their life. When we were in Belize, I was wondering how changing diapers and looking after children in a children's home would look on my resume. This was my thinking. Lord, how, you know, you've taken me from this pastorate, this position, and I want to go back into pastoring, but how will this work on my resume? And I heard the Lord speak to me, and I don't say this lightly because he speaks to his sheep and we hear his voice. Often, you know it, it just resonates with you. And it was simply this, it's the little things and the little ones that matter to me. It's the little things and the little ones that matter to me. Don't underestimate how God is using you and how he uses you. Don't look to the others. Don't look to another and compare yourself and say, well, God's not using me that way. He has uniquely qualified you for what you're doing and what God is going to call you to do and is calling you to do even now. So the title last week was At Your Service. And I did that little illustration, you know, like with the feed me or how can I serve you? How can I serve you? And this week, the title is WOCC, you and serving what the Lord is doing. WOCC, so our church, and you, capital letters, you, and what, and serving what the Lord is doing. Serving what the Lord is doing. Years ago, we did the Blackaby course, Experiencing God, which is so phenomenal, so transformational, so beautiful. And in that course, we learned that it's more important that we participate in what the Father is doing, just as Jesus did, than it is that we have all these dreams and all these our own ideas. It is good to dream and it's good to imagine out of what God puts within our heart and stirs within us by the Spirit. On a Zoom call like this, just a few nights ago with Isaac Gimba and some of the team meeting together, it was like this mosaic. And I just so enjoyed this morning looking at faces. You know, it's just, isn't it beautiful to look at one another? I think we got something wrong in the church, you know, where we're all facing forward, you know, and we see each other's, the back of each other's heads. When my son was really young, you know, he was our resident comic and also a cartoonist. And so he drew a cartoon of standing in church during worship. And he was just a little guy and he was down here looking at someone's, you know what, you know, like as we were worshiping, you know. It's humorous because we were created to look at one another's faces. In fact, it says in a Song of Solomon, it says, your face is lovely. You know, I love to behold your face. It's lovely. And faces are wonderful to behold. So this is like a mosaic. But the other night when I was with Isaac and some of the team, Isaac said this. He said, imagine what God could do through all of our graces. Imagine what God could do through all of our graces. You know, the body of Christ is coming into maturity. There's a maturing going on in our lives individually. You know, you are maturing, you know, God willing, God, you know, you are maturing in your life. And also in the body of Christ, we are maturing. We're getting beyond the place of competitiveness. We're moving beyond the place of looking at another's ministry or another person's life and envying or being jealous of what they are doing. But in fact, recognizing that there is a unique grace that God puts upon every single believer. There was a unique grace. So Isaac Gimma said this. He said, imagine what God could do through all of our graces. Imagine. And so we went through an exercise of imagination where we were imagining what God wanted to do through this group of leaders within our city and what might look like for our city. And so many things were written down, and I'll share with you when this is more compiled. But for this morning, I'll just share the little piece that I put in the puzzle. And it was this. I can imagine a maturity that produces a beautiful, visible portrait of unity. Let me repeat that one more time. I can imagine a maturity that produces a beautiful, visible portrait of unity. Isn't that something? I can imagine that. You know what? West Ottawa helps me imagine that. It really does. This community helps me to imagine that because we have committed ourselves to certain things in the Lord. We have committed ourselves to walking together as leaders. I remember years ago, I said to the team, I said, if we ever come to an impasse where we can't move, we're just at this major impasse, that we would humble ourselves. We would prostrate ourselves. I'm always afraid to say that word. Prostrate ourselves before the Lord until something breaks and the humility comes to us so that we can walk as we ought to in humility and in oneness together. And I can tell you, we've been through a lot as leaders, but we are walking in love. There is a love that is even greater today than it ever has been among leaders, both with us and not with us. And that's the beauty of it. And I want to talk about that in a minute. With us and not with us, that's okay. But listen to this. Last week, I had coffee with two individuals. They both blessed my heart because they both have what I learned years ago is called an architectural anointing. It's a beautiful term, architecturally anointed. And what it means is it's an apostolic anointing that is given to certain people to help to bring order to the body of Christ. They have this gift. It was many years ago when I returned back to West Ottawa after having served a Baptist church in Northern Ontario and then going to Belize for a summer and spending time in a children's home with our kids were young. It was at that time that we returned back to West Ottawa and they were asking us to come and be part of the team, part of the leadership team at West Ottawa. But we had learned over the years that at West Ottawa, one of the core values is emerging leaders. Is to see leaders emerge within the body so that everyone has an opportunity to function. You know, there are many churches where the functioning all takes place just at the front. That's the only functioning you get in that church. And the rest are spectators rather than participants. But at West Ottawa, we look for emerging leaders. We look for leaders to emerge within us. Hannah is an example of an emerging leader. She grew up in our church and is now serving in our church as a leader at West Ottawa. So I came back to West Ottawa and I said to the guys, I said, listen, this has been part of our DNA. I said, I just want to sit for a while. I don't want to get involved in ministry. I don't want anything to happen. I just want to sit for a while. And it was at that time that a prophet came among us who has an apostolic anointing. And this is where I learned this term, architecturally anointed. And he came in and he recognized certain ones in the body of Christ at West Ottawa. And he began to put us in place. And I was one of them. I was put into eldership and added to the pastoral team at West Ottawa. But it was through an anointing, this architectural anointing. So I'm sitting with these two leaders and I'm loving their hearts. I love their hearts. They're for unity. They're for Jesus' prayer, John 17. So I'm with this one brother. Then I go to be with this other brother who's newer to the city. And he's got a call to Parliament Hill. Very unique, very precious man, him and his wife, very special. And I'm sitting with him and he tells me, he says, you know, there are all these ministries on Parliament Hill. There are many different, and you know, he names some of them and I'm aware of some of them. And he says, my heart is to bring them together. To bring them together. I thought, God, you have brought this man. You have brought an anointed apostolic ministry to help the house come into order so that we can have this thing that Jesus prayed for called unity. But I wanted to create that picture because of what I want to share with you in just the next few minutes. So I had those two coffees. And I want to say again that we as in West Ottawa are committed to serving the purposes of God within our city. Now, there's always been the old way of thinking is how does something benefit my church? How does it benefit us financially? Or what about people? I mean, we're talking about all these people out there, but what about people at West Ottawa? How can we kind of build here and get this thing going? You know, well, that is an old mindset. It's an old mindset. The new mindset, the mind of Christ is that we want to serve the purposes of God within our city. And if we will be faithful to serve the purposes of God, God will be faithful to add unto us. He will be faithful. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all these other things will be added to you. If you will prioritize your life with what God says to you, if you will be obedient in the small things, if you will say yes to God with a small why, you will find yourself having an opportunity to say yes to the bigger yeses that God has for your life. Does that make sense? Saying yes, the small yeses, they're accumulative in the kingdom. They're accumulative, isn't that a great word? In the kingdom of God. So I have this friend, one of my new African friends by the name of Jose. Some of you know Jose. Jose has a round face. He's the most beautiful Congolese brother next to my brother Tito. He's the most beautiful Congolese brother that I know. And Jose got up in our church during one of our leaders, pastors meeting at West Ottawa, and he articulated how his church has benefited through a unity movement in our city. His church has been blessed. It has prospered through the giving of themselves to the unity movement in Ottawa. And I want to thank Ken Hall, who's walked as a servant in this city for so many years and has served the purposes of God. to the detriment, even if you want to call it that, to the detriment. But I believe ultimately it's been to the blessing of West Ottawa, but to the detriment in the sense that resources went out from West Ottawa. March for Jesus, 20,000 people, Ken Hall, one of the first pastors' gatherings of unity in our city, in the little church house, in the living room, Old Pinecrest Road, Ken Hall. You know, and the list goes on and on and on. One of the other things about Ken, he taught me to love the body of Christ. And I love the body of Christ. In fact, some of you have been probably even heard me being unwilling to diss the body of Christ. I have an unwillingness in my heart to diss the body of Christ. Now, I know someone asked what that meant the other day, diss, because I guess it's maybe a younger term, you know, but it means to disqualify or to speak badly of something. And I have a hard time with that. During COVID, I was out for one of my walks, and those are the times I hear from God the best. And I'm walking along and I'm thinking about these people that are being spoken badly about. And I felt in my heart, the Lord say, these are my friends. These are my friends. Don't you want God to speak that about you? When somebody's talking about you, you know, behind your back or somewhere else, and the Holy Spirit says, this is my friend. This is my friend. Years ago, I learned this principle through Floyd McClung, who was a YWAMer, and Floyd was traveling with a brother, and Floyd said something about Billy Graham, and this brother turned to Floyd McClung and says, I don't receive that. I don't receive that. I mean, there's principles. First of all, pray. You know, pray. Have you prayed for the brother? Have you the sister? Have you prayed for them? Have you gone to them personally? I mean, you got this thing against them. Have you gone to them? Okay, I'm getting off the talk just a little bit. But unity happens. This is not my phrase, but I love it. Unity happens at the speed of relationship. Unity happens at the speed of relationship. This is so important because we've had a kind of a unity, even in churches. Churches can have this. They can have this thing they call unity. Oh, we get all the people in the building at one time. That's called unity. It really isn't. You know, it really isn't. Unity happens with relationship. It happens with a relationship. So I met with a brother not too long ago, and I said to him, listen, brother, I got something to share with you. I shared something with him. In fact, I prayed a lot about it, and I felt like this is often what the Lord speaks to me. He says, who loves this person enough to say this to them? Who loves them enough to say this to them? Because the person that loves you enough to say something to you is the person that's going to be there the next day. The relationship is valuable. It's valuable to them. And so they're going to be there the next day. And so I spoke this to this brother. It wasn't a huge thing, but it was something needed to be spoken in order that the unity would be able to flourish. And what would happen was it wasn't helpful for unity. It was just not helpful at all. And so I shared this with them. And the humility that I observed in this man blessed my heart. I went away blessed. I was the one delivering the hard word, you know, and yet I went away blessed because this man had humility in his heart to receive what I said and to make a correction for the sake of unity. That makes sense? So we are committed to keeping bridges intact. That's one of our commitments. A person can leave disgruntled if they want to leave West Ottawa. And I'm not thinking of anyone, nor did I even intend to say that, except people leave churches all the time, right? They leave churches for various reasons and they leave with various sentiments, shall we say, you know, they can leave that way. But we are committed to keeping bridges intact. We believe that the body of Christ is like not perfect, that the body of Christ is very much like a dysfunctional family. And so we're going to have issues. I never get it right, but Paul and Barnabas, you know, like, and we're going to have issues with there's a pulling away for a season, but you even see in that story, there was a coming back together. And so we in West Ottawa have really rejoiced in relationships. We value relationships over being right, you know, over being right. Let me just leave it like that. So yesterday, a few of us met under the Peace Tower and we prayed for Ottawa. We just prayed for our city. It was just a small gathering. Heather was there and a number of us were there. Howard had called together some people. I thought, Howard, man, a young believer who just loves Jesus, like, why not join him and pray for our city? And we went back and forth about what it would look like. And I said, I didn't really want to be part of a protest, but I'm good with praying for the prosperity and blessing of our city. Just as it said in the Old Testament, it says that when you go into captivity, not a nice place. When you're in captivity, not a nice place. You don't like the government, not a nice place. You know, whatever. You're in this place. Pray for that city. Pray for that city because as that city prospers, you will prosper. Pray for peace. Pray for the city. So we did that. And the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. We're also committed to opening our doors through relationships. And Graham touched on that this morning. We've opened our doors through relationships. We have Mark and Kwanda. We have a relationship with these guys. We love them. We appreciate them. And so we've opened our doors to them. We love Abraham. You know, Abraham, we love this brother. We've got such a humble heart. And when you see his congregation or meet his family, like, man, they're just such beautiful people in our city. And so they wanted to become more of a congregation. And where they were meeting, they were under an umbrella within that church, but they weren't really able to get their own tax status for him to be the pastor and so forth. So they decided to look for a new venue. And through relationship, God connected him with Graham and me and the team. So we're just blessed. So it's through relationships and we're committed to those. So WOCC, you and serving the purposes of God, serving what the Lord is doing. That's what we're called to do, to serve what the Lord is doing. So in 1 Kings 17, verse 1, it says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except by my word.'" We talked about this last week, and I said that this expression, "as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand," is an expression indicating one who stands in the service of a king, one who stands in the service of a king. I read a book as a young believer. I was 17 years, 18 years old, and read this book, King's Kids, by whoever it was. And it was such a blessing that we are kids of the king. We are king's kids, and we stand in service of the king. That's where we stand. We stand today in service of the king. St. Ignatius, one of my favorite saints, he was born in 1491 in northern Spain. I think why I love him the most is that I probably walked in some of the places that St. Ignatius walked. I walked across northern Spain on the Camino to Santiago. So St. Ignatius blesses me in many ways. Last week, I told you one of the unique things about him was that the community that he formed a community that was unlike the monastic community in his time, where they were cloistered and withdrawn and behind closed walls, whereas he brought his community into the center of the community, into the center of the town. And that's where they lived out their Christianity, right there in the center, not removed from society, but right in society itself. I think it was called the Society of Jesus. But in any case, what I love about Ignatius is what he taught his disciples to do. He said, "Live your life with one foot raised, always ready to step into emerging opportunities that God opens before you. Live your life in such a way that you're watching for those opportunities that God will give you to actually step into them, to step into them." Heather stepped into an opportunity, but take 2 minutes to tell us what you're doing. And I know you can't tell us everything, but we love this organization. Just mention its name. I want you to just hear what Heather's doing right now, what she's up to.
She's not on the screen at the moment.
No problem. Heather is working with Safe Families, and she's helping a mother. I think it's a single mom, and she's just serving. What's interesting about this, and this is the point I wanted to draw out from Heather, and now I'll tell you a story about David, my cousin David. But with Heather, it's the opportunities when you will choose to serve in whatever measure, whatever he asks you to do. There are going to be unique outcomes to that service. There are going to be beyond what you imagined when you went into the service. So David, my cousin, is serving at Hillel Lodge, where his wife, Simone, passed away. And David is probably my second cousin, my mom's first cousin. There were four sisters in the family, my mom and three other sisters. David was the first cousin who became like a brother. So there were like five of them. They were inseparable. And if you can see this, my mom's in this picture on the wheelchair. David's in this picture. My Aunt Barbara, Maureen, who was Michelle's mom, and also Margot. So they're all there. And Simone, who was David's wife. So David, after his wife dies, and David's in his 90s, you got to understand this, he's in his 90s. He reminds me of Larry. Larry went back to school when he turned 90. Do you know that? Larry calls me up on the phone. He says, "Chuck, I just went back to school." Like, 90 years old. Come on. Come on. If you want to be a disciple, I said to Heather yesterday, when she shows up in the cold, cold weather up on Parliament Hill, I said, "Heather, I want to be like you when I grow up." That's what I said. Can you just tell us in just a nutshell what you're doing for Safe Families? Just a couple of sentences. Just tell us what you're doing with Safe Families. Here we go.
I volunteered. I'm working with a lady from India. She's 20 years old and has a 1-month-old baby who is the cutest thing. And she basically lives in one room, which is just hardly big enough to have her bed and the baby's crib. So we're trying to get her to get to church. She asked for a Bible. I brought her a Bible. And I got her a snowsuit. And it just seems like a real nice match. I'm loving the baby, and I can't lift the big ones, but he's tiny. Some of you know I'm missing seeing my own first great-grandchild in the Maritimes. So I think, you know, I'm being blessed more than she is. I just go and see her once a month. I mean, once a week. Yeah. So, and it's not far either. You know, it's just near Algonquin College, but she needs prayer. She came here. She was 4 months pregnant to go to school, and she was going to go back to India to have the baby, but she had complications. So he was born here. So she's praying that her husband can come back. You know, we just seem to connect, and I'm asking the Lord to give me wisdom, trying to listen to the Lord, even though my mercy gift wants me to do something else. I just feel I have to do what the Lord says. That's all.
And that's beautiful. Heather, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that. There are others in our church that are involved in Safe Families. And when we heard the ladies give the presentation, I thought, wow, I don't know. I haven't heard of anything much better than Safe Families and their vision, what they're doing. It's just so remarkable. We'll be hearing more about Safe Families as we go along. But let me just continue for a few more minutes, tell you about David. So David works for Hillel Lodge as a volunteer. It's a Jewish retirement residence. And David works there. But what David did not know when he started to work there was how God would use him to connect Jewish and Christians, how he would be used, how David would be used. And this is so remarkable to me, and a picture of what happens when we will be obedient to the Lord and put ourselves at the service of the King. If we will put ourselves at the service of the King, we have no idea how he will use us. In fact, I love Isaac Gimba's dream, because the thing that the Lord taught Isaac Gimba was that it's not what we do for the Lord. And that's where many of us beat ourselves up, because we look at someone else and all they're doing for the Lord, and we think, oh, I'm doing nothing. You know, have you ever felt that? I'm just doing nothing. I mean, compared to what they're doing. But it's not what you do for the Lord. It's what you will allow the Lord to do through you. What you will allow the Lord to do through you is gold. It's of greater value than all the works of man, all the kind of things you can do. Does that make sense? It's so beautiful. So David is bringing these connections between Jews and Christians. And it's in total keeping with what's happening in our city, with the relationships and friendships that are going on with the Jewish community and the Christian community. David had no idea. In fact, he doesn't even know to this day. But through choosing to be a servant, God is opening and favoring him and giving these opportunities. And I just love it. I love it. So let me move on. I want to give you just a couple more things and then I'll close. Okay. But I want to go back to 1 Kings. And that's where we read about Elijah, because there's so many beautiful things. 1 Kings 19, verse 7, it says this. 1 Kings 19, verse 7. I'll just back up. Okay. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." Now, I've underlined in my Bible, the journey is too much for you. And I want to just say that over every single one of our lives. The journey is too much for us. The journey is too much for us. And then it goes on to say, so he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb. Let me read that again. This is so beautiful. It says, so he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, strengthened by the provision of the Lord. It says he was strengthened and he went 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb. You know, Jesus said, you remember he went to the well, he taught and spoke to the woman at the well, this beautiful story. And then the woman goes and tells everybody that Jesus said, spoke about everything in her life. And the disciples come back and find Jesus with this woman and they offer him food. Do you remember that? Now, I want to turn to it because this is, I want you to see this in John 4, verse 31. This is so important in John 4, 31. I just want to read the part where Jesus says this in John 4, verse 31. He said, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing of." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." This is so beautiful. Listen to this. "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." This is the will of God, Jesus said, to finish his work, to do what I was sent to do. This is our food. You will be strengthened by the Lord in ways unimaginable if you will give yourselves to doing what Jesus said here, to do the will of his Father who sent him and to finish the work. And now if you read on, and I'm not going to take time to read the whole portion, but it simply says, he talks about, let me just read a little bit. It says, Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look to the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crop for eternal life. And you can look at that portion in John chapter 4. But what Jesus is saying is he's come with a purpose to do what the Father is doing, with the purpose of people. This is who he came for. He came for people. So no matter how you look at this, years ago, Watchmen for the Nations gathered people from all over the nations, gathered people for large gatherings all over the nations. These gatherings took place. And someone said that Watchmen is about evangelism. And people objected, even in my own circle. I remember someone just so objecting to this phrase that Watchmen is about evangelism. All they do is pray. All they do is pray and worship. What do you mean this is about evangelism? Well, it is, because this prayer movement, this crying out to God across the nations, is and will result in souls. It will result in a harvest. So this service, this will of God, this following Jesus is about people. Don't forget that. Don't ever forget people. Don't pass them by and think that they're not of value, because they are of value. Let God constantly let you notice people. I was in Bayshore recently, walking, looping the floors, you know, in Bayshore, because I got to get ready for Guatemala somehow, you know. So I'm looping the floors and I see people, people. These are the commodity of heaven's greatest joy, of heaven's greatest focus, are the people, the people, the people, the people. And so read that. It's about harvest. It's about following the Father, being willing to serve unto the harvest that he's bringing. So let me just see where I want to end here. Yeah, I was going to mention Elijah, just the fact that in James chapter 5, and I think I mentioned this last week, is James is not so much different than all of us. And you've got to see that. Otherwise, you put people on a pedestal and you think, well, that was Elijah. You know, Elijah, God could use him. God did all these things through Elijah. But, you know, Elijah went through depression. He even wanted to take his life, or he didn't really, you know, he was too cowardly. So he asked the Lord to take his life. You know, he went through these things. What else? I had a list of them. There was, oh yeah, self-pity. That was another one. When he was afraid, he ran from Jezebel. He was full of self-pity. And then there was the one where he was thinking more highly of himself than he ought to. Remember that one? And the Lord said, I have 7,000 prophets that haven't bowed the knee. You know, you think you're the only one, but there are many, many prophets that haven't bowed the knee. And so self-pity was another one. So his weaknesses were on display. You know, they really were. His weaknesses were on display. But I want to say this morning that our weakness is not a disqualifier. So no matter where you find yourself this morning, your weakness is not a disqualifier. In fact, Paul tells us that the Lord spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. So your weakness is not a disqualifier, but a qualifier for a grace that is sufficient, a grace that is sufficient. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I would gladly boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. See, there's that thing again that Isaac said. It's what we will allow God to do through us. Our weakness seemed to disqualify us. Our failures seem to disqualify us, and they're loud and they speak to us. They bring condemnation. But the Lord says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul went on to say, he said, but this treasure is in jars of clay to show the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. This is so important. Be very careful not to take the glory to yourself. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not a beautiful person, because you are. God has made you so beautifully. In fact, it says that we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, to walk in these things. So don't think of yourself as nothing. That's not the right way to think of you. He has made you into a masterpiece and you're beautiful. But ultimately, at the end of the day, bring that bouquet of roses to the Lord and recognize that this all sufficiency, this ability to do what we do, comes from him. It comes from him. We're not nothing. We're beautiful. He's made us incredibly beautiful. And we're a work in progress, right? All of us. But he's done something beautiful. But we are his masterpiece. So it literally means this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, okay? So that the excellency of the power may be of God and not from us. The excellency literally means the excess or abundance. The excess or abundance. He is a God of excess and abundance. He is so generous. My Bible college professor used to say that you can't outgive God. You use those gifts God gave you, he'll give you more gifts. You give away what he's given you, he'll give you more. He'll pour like a waterfall. Heaven's resources are unlimited. That's why Jesus said to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're to pray. The resources of heaven are limitless. I love my Brandon Lake. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So Elijah stood before the Lord. He stood in service to the king. You and I have the awesome privilege of being servants of the king. We get to position ourselves standing before him. And like St. Ignatius, our foot is raised. What the king says, we will do. We have no idea where it will lead, but I guarantee it will lead into some beautiful places. I guarantee that the outcome will be greater than had we simply not stepped into that situation or said no to the Lord. One of the worst things we can do is say no to the Lord. Practice your small yeses. You hear in your head, pick up that piece of garbage. Have you ever heard that? I'm walking down the street and I hear this little voice inside me. Pick that up, you know? I mean, you only have to walk 10 paces and there's a garbage can, you know? It's just, I mean, but little things like that, you know, give so-and-so a call, you know, write a letter, do this, give that $20 away. It's actually freeing, you know? It's like that special glue, that Gorilla Glue. Money could be like Gorilla Glue on our hands. We have to practice. Sow a seed, give it away, bless somebody. Okay, here it is. Jesus said, the greatest servant of all said this. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than a person lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And in John 13:17, after Jesus got down and did something none of the other disciples were willing to do, he washed the other disciples' feet. Jesus said this. He said, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So Lord, you have created opportunities, and in the unique calling on everyone's life, Lord, you have unique opportunities for us to step into. Lord, I'm so grateful for this body, Lord, that we get to walk. We get to walk in unity, Lord, at the speed of relationship. Lord, bless from the top of everyone's head to the tips of their toes. Lord, I pray for an anointing that comes from heaven. I pray, Lord God, that the canopy would be even moved right now, Lord, that an open heaven would come over us, Lord, as a body. And Lord, over everyone, Lord, in this body, Lord God, whether they're on this Zoom call or they're out in the fields working today or doing anything else, that, Lord, you would come upon them, Lord God. You would come upon them with a strong anointing to do the things that you have uniquely called each and every one of us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys.